BigFoamyHead.com. We've got Dick Pepper and Rick Hagerbarmer here, and today we're going to do a show on Imperial Stouts. That's Russian right. Imperial Stouts, actually. Right. So, in preparation for the show, I went out and bought every variety of Imperial Stout you can get in Collierville, Tennessee, mm-hmm. which is three.
That's right.
So, we hope that these will be a good representation of the style.
Right, and we started off with our baseline stout to measure these against, which is the fourth one, which we didn't count because it is in a grocery store, the Guinness, yeah. Which everybody knows about Guinness.
And yeah. The way we decided to do the show is we were drinking, Dick had a Samuel Smith's Imperial Stout on a previous show that we just kind of threw in at the end, and I liked it so much that I wanted to learn more about the style. I've actually been wanting to brew a what they call a big beer for yeah. a while. And the Imperial Stout is about as big a beer as you can get before,
it's pretty
you,
big.
Before yeah. you go to barley wine. So
yeah, but it's one of those beers, though, that, and we're going to find out as we get deeper into them, they're all high in alcohol, but they have, I think they're more big in flavor
yeah.
than anything. You don't really drink this and know that you're consuming that much alcohol. But and before we get too far gone, I want to tell you about the band that opened the show. We got two bands. And the band that opened the show is the Torpex Blues Band. They're from Montreal, and you recognize the song. This is B.B. King, classic, The Thrill Is Gone, from here in Memphis. And we've got another cover that they do, but they do a really good version of this, and since it's a female singer, it's a little twist on things. So that was the opener.
I want to commend you for your music selection. I've been duly impressed on each yep. of the shows as I listen to them.
Well, I got to tell you, these two, I think this is the best end-to-end music all the way through. I'm really enjoying these guys, and so hope everybody else will too. So, all right, so what about a stout, an Imperial Stout?
Well, we can go a little bit into the history of the beer.
Okay.
It was brewed in England mm-hmm. For the Russian Imperial Court, mm-hmm. the Tsars.
That's right.
And in order to make the trip across the Baltic, they had to raise the alcohol content so it wouldn't freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, as same as an Indian Pale Ale, they brought the hop level up
for the,
because it didn't have refrigeration.
Yeah, so that was the preservative.
So that would be that would preserve it for the long trip.
Well, see, you know, I knew that about the hops, but I couldn't. I was trying to figure, well, where did the maltiness come in? Because it's not really considered as hoppy as an IPA, despite the fact, as we'll find out, the bitterness is much higher. So you just cleared it up so it wouldn't freeze.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So they had to jack up the alcohol. So you got all that malt, all that hops.
And it's also popular with the Russian Imperial Court, who liked caviar and champagne and, you know, fancy table settings.
Yeah. So that was the finer things in life, the 18th century. They're visiting over in England and enjoying everything, and they want to bring a little bit of this back home, and there you go.
So.
Okay, well, good. Well, are we ready to crack into
one? First one?
Okay, well, if you'll do that, I will be glad to read about the description that you gave me. And this is the BJCP, which is what? I forgot already.
Beer Judges something or another.
Beer Judges is a judging guide. And what it does is it describes what the beer should be and gives a whole lot of stuff. But basically the description of Russian Imperial Stout, rich and complex with variable amounts of roasted grains, maltiness, fruity esters, hops, and alcohol. The roasted malt character can take on coffee, dark chocolate, or slightly burnt tones and can be light to moderately strong. So that's pretty much a quick summary of it. And one of the obvious things that we're seeing right now is the head.
Big,
thick, foamy head is always
much what you expect from a pint of stout in a pub in England.
Right. And they're very dark. It says appearance may range from dark reddish brown to jet black, and all the ones I've traditionally seen, they're dark, and this is no exception. It's got a very tan head, like Rick said earlier, a rich, deep, complex flavor, and the mouthfeel. Now, I remember the first time I had a Guinness, blood came to mind, because I don't know where that came from. It doesn't taste like blood, but it is very, it's got a thicker depth to it, and it's very intense, and it's just really good. Now, Guinness, though, we've got to point out, is not an imperial stout.
No, it's just a plain stout.
It's just a stout. And this is the Guinness Extra Stout, not the draft, that you can get in bottles anywhere. We took a little bit of that to warm up and prepare, so now we're
And we are in our winter months. We just had our first real cold streak.
Right.
And it might even freeze tonight, so it's a good night to be drinking stouts.
There you go. That's right. It'll keep you warm in the winter. And so our first one we're doing is
Samuel Smith.
Okay. And this is
I'm not sure that the history of this is much more interesting than what we've already said. What was interesting was that it started off with Courage.
Yeah, that was in some of the research we came across that this fellow Roger Protz wrote in All About Beer Online. He wrote a bit about when he visited Courage Breweries by the River Thames in London. It's a historic brewery, and it's where a lot of your porters and stouts and pale ales came from. And he was looking at these little casks that were just tiny. They're like the tiniest ones, and called pens, and they hold 4.5 gallons of beer. And the person working there said, that's some of our Imperial Russian Stout. And then that's where he proceeded to learn about that, and that back in the day, these things were just huge. And just like he said, exported to Russia and the Baltic states. And the thing that struck us is kind of interesting down here is that one of the brewers or brewmasters at the Courage Brewery was John Smith. And
presumably Samuel Smith's brother.
Right, because it says in here, it refers to Samuel Smith. Here you go. It says, the disappearance of Courage's Russian Imperial Stout seemed to mark the end of a noble beer style, but that distant relative of John Smith, Samuel, came to the rescue with 3 superlative dark bottle beers. So, apparently, the beer we're drinking picked up where
the resurrection of the Courage.
Yes, exactly.
Original. Okay.
And so there you go. So there was a kind of our.
And some of my other reading kind of indicates that this is popular with the American homebrewers, probably for the same reason as I noted, and that they were looking for a big end beer to brew. So we'll talk about brewing a batch, the different kits available after the break.
Okay, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to save this Torfex Blues band, but let's listen to our other band, JC and the Road Kings, and these are all original songs, and these guys are out of Phoenix, Arizona, so this is JC and the Road Kings, When You Were Gone.
You're my best friend, girl, you're everything in the world to me. I took for granted that together we would never end, 'cause your good loving girl is all I need. So tell me, little girl, why you up and down? Won't you tell me, baby, what went wrong? I gave you all my love, I gave you a love so fine. Tell me, was it just a dream? When you were mine, you talked about it, you didn't say a word. Now the front door slamming was the only thing I heard. Can we put this back together, babe, and love another day? 'Cause every time I see ya, you take my breath away. So tell me, little girl, why are you up and gone? Won't you tell me, baby, what went wrong? I gave you all my love, I gave you a love so fine. Tell me, was it just for free when you were mine? Well, I can still see your face, still see your smile, yeah. Your touch, a touch that really drives me wild. Well, I don't know what you've been thinking, don't know what's on your mind, no. So just stop these games you're playing, stop treating me unkind, 'cause I just want to love you. Oh, if only you were mine.
Musical interlude.
That's right. That was JC and the Road Kings, When You Were Gone.
When You Were Gone. Okay, so I mentioned that I was going to brew an Imperial Stout. I've been doing a little bit of research on it, and they seem to have different combinations of malts and malt extracts and hops, different types of hops. What is consistent about it is they all have roasted barley malt,
right,
crystal malt, and chocolate malt.
So it's a lot of malt,
and
that roasted malt to get that kind of deep flavor, right?
And 12 pounds of extract for a 5-gallon batch of beer.
That's a lot of extract.
That is like three times as much as you normally
have. Does it look like cement or something when you mix it up?
I can imagine it's as thick as mud.
Yeah.
I do have a batch of the double chocolate stout that is currently fermenting away.
That's going to be good.
And I transferred that to the secondary this weekend, and there must have been 2 inches of Trub at the bottom.
Really? So it cranks out.
That yeast was extremely active. It produced a lot of the proteins, and I had to sterilize an extra gallon at least of water just to fill it up to 5 gallons, because I started with 6, and it was down to 4 by the time I transferred it to the secondary.
Really?
Well, so I lost basically 2 gallons.
Well, and I think you said it was the initial bubbling of it after you had it. It was like going for days.
Yeah,
right?
It's extremely active.
So that goes to the malt, and the yeast are going to feed for quite a while, and all that feeding creates alcohol. So
it's either has a British ale, white yeast, or
is there like a stout yeast?
There's a Scottish ale yeast, and I'm not sure which one I'm going to use.
Well,
I'm still thinking
just
about that.
If you ask me, only because I had such bad luck with my Scottish one, I think I would use the British one, only because I think it'll give a little smoother mouthfeel to it. The Samuel Smith that we just had, which was just an excellent drinking beer, I bet that's the kind of result you get.
Yeah, it says it's the original dried yeast from Whitbread.
There you go.
Produces beers with a clean, neutral finish, allowing malt and hop character to dominate. So, sold. I'll go with the British ale yeast.
And I think if you were getting into homebrewing, this would probably be a good beer to start with. I think it would be, in terms of...
I'd want to put a few batches of wheat beer down first.
Well, okay. Yeah, I'll give you the wheat beer. But in terms of, getting your hop boil right and things like that, you're going to have so much malt in it, it's going to be hard to overdo the hoppiness. And we forgot to mention the Samuel Smith, the specs on that, 7% alcohol, which is, for an Imperial Stout, the one
at the bottom of the band.
It is. It's pretty...
It might actually be outside the style guide.
It's almost a light Imperial Stout.
Well, we just opened the Old Rasputin Russian Imperial Stout. And this is made, it's a product of the USA. It's made by North Coast Brewing Company in Fort Bragg, California.
Yep. And I've had their ales before. Never had their stouts. They serve this at the Greek deli that I go to, the ales, not the stouts. And same look and feel.
It's very dark. Less
very
head.
Dark.
Less
yeah,
head.
A little less head. You can smell coffee. Anyway, just taking a whiff of it, you right off the bat get a smell of coffee.
A little sweeter.
Yep.
According to the BJCP style for Russian Imperial Stout, the alcohol by volume is supposed to start at 8%.
Right.
So 7% is a little low for the stout.
So that's just under the wire, but enough to sell it at the liquor store. Yeah, this is definitely a little sweeter. It's I think it's got a little. It finishes a little different. It's a little bit of tang to it. Very good. We haven't had a bad one yet. And
we always like to read what the company says about its own style of beer.
Yep.
So, it's been speculated that no one had a greater appreciation for this rich, roasty elixir than Rasputin, the mystic wag, and favorite of the ladies of the court, who contributed to the ultimate downfall of Tsar Nicholas II.
Okay, there you go. So Rasputin liked the Imperial Stout, according to... the North Coast Brewery legend makers.
Yes.
Okay.
And it goes on to say it's a rich, intense brew with a robust palate. A fruity nose, I got that.
Yeah.
A warming finish, definitely have that.
Yeah.
Very complex, true.
I think anything with this high in alcohol is going to have a warming finish.
Yeah. That's actually a characteristic of the beer. It's supposed to have that.
And we did not know the bitterness of the Sam Smith, but this one, we've got...
75 IBUs.
75, and that's getting
high.
Up there. But you don't get that, though, and drink
that.
And this alcohol is significantly higher. This is...
This is 8.9%.
8.9.
Alcohol by volume.
Okay.
So this is definitely not guzzling beer. You don't go grab a six-pack of this stuff. A, it's a little pricey.
Right.
And B... you'd be trashed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is one of those that I was reading on one of the other descriptions. They have serving suggestions. You mentioned the champagne, the caviar, and how they appreciated all that in Russian court. The serving suggestions for stout is espresso. Drink it with coffee. Stilton and walnuts, New York cheesecake, steak au poivre, caviar, oysters Rockefeller, chocolate baked Alaska. You don't typically think of beer as something that would go with dessert, but I can see this being with some cheese or something with chocolate. I think chocolate would work really well with this.
One of the things I read is you're supposed to drink this in a wide mouth brandy snifter. So,
well, we're
it
just,
is kind of a dessert beer.
We have a wide mouth pint.
Yes.
So that's the best we can do.
We're
but
definitely in the pint.
I'm unprepared for the glassware on this show.
So this is a beer and barbecue show.
Yeah.
I went to the barbecue shop today with co-workers.
Oh, you did? Okay,
yeah,
good.
I had the barbecue spaghetti. Yeah, they have a half and a half plate, so it was chopped pork and barbecue spaghetti. And it was a little hotter than I remember it being. It was a little spicy this time.
And we were going to talk about, when we went to lunch the other day, we said we need to talk about different types of barbecue. So you're starting that off with the barbecue spaghetti, which is, around these parts, common. You can get that at pretty much any barbecue restaurant. I don't know if it was invented here, but it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't. So it's pretty good overall.
It's extremely good.
Yeah, I've heard very very good reviews of the barbecue shop's shoulder. So that's what they're using on it.
The sandwich is supposed to be excellent. Although I've never had the sandwich. I always go for either for it. They've got excellent ribs down
here. I've had the sandwich, but that's all I've ever had there. And it's a great place. And one of the
go early because service afternoon is long. It took us about 45 minutes to get our order.
And I guess we can mention that we had a different way of eating barbecue was the other day when we went to Central Barbecue. After having talked about it on one of the shows, we went there with some of your coworkers, and we, for some reason, something possessed everyone. We all had barbecue nachos.
Nachos, which I believe they originated.
It was very good. That was.
I think it'd be hard to lay claim on the first person who ever did a barbecue nacho, but I believe they originated there. Or at least they specialize in it.
Well, it was very good.
And it was. It satisfied any kind of craving I would ever have for barbecue nachos for a long time.
Have never had anything bad at Central Barbecue until that day. And it wasn't the nachos. We had been talking the other day about brisket, Texas style, and I think we mentioned on previous shows about when we went to Interstate Barbecue, and I got the beef. I was just trying something different, and it was pretty good, and the waitress informed us that half of their orders were for that. Well, I don't think that's the case at Central Barbecue. This beef sandwich was just not good. It was not warm. The meat was kind of tough. They cook it, but I don't think they have the heart in it. Their specialty is barbecue and ribs. They do just a phenomenal job on that. And I guess, they don't have anything left to give to the beef. And so I tried it, and, it just
wasn't. They probably don't like it themselves.
They probably don't. I think they're just doing it for the odd people who walk in
and
say,
ask for it. They don't like pork for some reason.
Yeah, there you go. So they get what they're asking for there. All right. Well,
another barbecue story is I had my neighbor bring over a fish the other day that he had caught. He and his dad had been out. It was a huge salmon.
Yeah.
And he said, if you smoke it, we'll split it. So
there you go.
We did that.
That's a hell of a deal there.
And it gave him a little bit more than half because it was his fish. Mm-hmm. But it came out wonderful.
So did the smoking kind of tone down the salmon a little bit? Salmon off the grocer's shelf tastes very salmon-y. Wild salmon, I imagine, is even a...
Well, the salmon at Costco comes from
Chile.
Down South America somewhere, and they actually add coloring to give it the pink color. Yeah. So this was naturally pink, and it had the skin on, and it had been deboned. So I don't know how much extra it added, but it was certainly... It was delicious.
And that's one of those...
It's quick and easy to smoke that. Somebody's looking for a healthy thing to smoke. That's a great place to smoke.
And how long did you cook?
2.5 hours.
Yep, and that's about what I do with mine. I make my wife likes a salmon dip that I make, and I just, whenever I'm cooking something, I get a little piece from the Chilean salmon, and throw it on there, and cooks up a couple of hours, and you... mix it up with some cream cheese, a little shot of Worcestershire, dash of Tabasco and some lemon juice. That's it.
Sounds good. I got to try that.
It is. It's wonderful. Of course, I like to put my rub on the salmon, but any kind of seasoning to kind of give it a little crust, and that's good stuff.
Now that the weather's getting cold, we can start thinking about cold smoking.
That's true.
I had a smoked turkey and smoked Colby cheese sandwich the other day.
Yep. And we never talked about the episode at the fair, but where I had to smoke some cheese, like on demand. So, well, I'll tell you what, let's take another break.
Okay.
And we'll come back. We've enjoyed.
What do you think of Old Rasputin?
I think it's great.
I like this better than Samuel.
I think I do too. I'm going with you
and
on
I'm
that.
And I'm starting to notice that I sort of like the American beers better than the imports.
Well, you know, the craft brewer guys here, they are, Samuel Smith, I bet if we were to find out, I bet you they're significantly larger in scale than these guys.
Yeah.
They've been around
forever.
Yeah. And I think with the craft brewers, the micro brewers, they're going to try a little harder. It's an excellent beer. So let's take a break, and we'll listen to another JC and the Rogue Kings. And I hope you're enjoying these guys as much as I do. These guys are modern electric blues, very Stevie Ray Vaughan-ish influence, very hard-driving, good music. And we're going to listen to JC and the Road Kings, Maybe Someday, Baby.
Well, my baby told me a long time ago, she said, you're going to miss me someday. My baby told me a long time ago, she said, you're gonna wish you had stayed. Been a long time, honey, I'm gone still. I think about you something, I guess I always will. And if I'm losing, at least I'm moving. And it's easier to live than just standing still. She called me collect from a pay telephone. Now she says, who's gonna love you when you're old? Now my baby told me, once I was gone, she said, I never known a man so cold. Now women say funny things sometimes, especially when they're just about to lose their mind. If I could change it, knock it on wood, Lord knows I'd buy some forest full of trees. And if I do someday, baby, someday maybe, maybe someday, baby, babies cry while the wind blows. I don't know, but tonight I just might lose my mind. Hey.
We are now pouring the Rogue Imperial Stout.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, how did you describe it?
This is the color of 30 weight used motor oil. It is dark. This is black as the IRS's collective souls. I mean, look at this thing.
Yeah.
It makes the other, and the others were black.
It's got a dark tan head that's about an inch thick.
This is serious, and we like Rogue. If you've listened to any of our earlier shows, we talked to the founder, Jack Joyce. We like Rogue.
We're fans.
We are big fans of Rogue. So Rick's reading the bottle.
I love their bottles. This Rogue XS Imperial Stout. They tell you nice little things on it. They said best one aged for 1 year. And
right.
I've heard other places that people will go out and buy Rogue and they'll cellar it for a year.
Yeah.
Well, guess this was bottled in 2001.
So we're drinking 4-year-old beer.
Yeah.
Completely contradicting the born on freshness date.
Yes.
So remember that, kids.
So that means that we should have less of an alcohol punch at the beginning. It'll be a lot smoother.
Because
that's the thing about aging it is the alcohol tends to blend
now,
in.
And is this, can you tell on there, is this a naturally carbonated beer? Is it a bottle conditioned?
Yeah, it says that it's, I was just reading that a second ago.
And now this is a smaller bottle, too.
Yeah, it says it's unfiltered and unfined, so that would mean that it was bottle conditioned, obviously.
But it's a beautiful head, and the bubbles are very fine. It's still got a lot of head. We've been talking, hadn't been drinking, and I still got a thick enough head on mine. Got a good aroma.
It says oxygen fixing caps, 26 degrees Play-Doh. I don't know what that means. 87.5 IBU. That is the most bitter beer I've ever had.
And did you mention the alcohol?
I did not.
This is the bracer here.
11%.
11% alcohol
by volume.
That's a lot of alcohol. So both of us are almost too scared to take a drink, but we're going to anyway. And there you go. Cheers. And let's see how our Rogue does. Very
smooth.
Very smooth, very aggressive. And there's I'm getting a lot of activity on the finish.
Yeah, it's warm.
A lot of warm. It's not that you taste alcohol so much as you feel it.
You feel the warmth, yeah.
It's got a little more bitter finish.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm getting. Not in a bad way. In a very good way, I think.
Yeah, I think you would need a cracker or something to kind of cleanse your palate a bit after.
You know, beer, cheese, and sausage. This would go excellent with a good sausage plate. And boy,
again,
this is
this one that the kids aren't going to swig down playing beer pong?
No, no beer pong with this.
Way too stout.
Very good. Yeah, this is probably the most aggressive of the stouts, and don't want to give you the wrong idea. It's not a loud beer.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. It's very subtle, yet you know it's in the room. It's pretty good. I'm really enjoying this. I think for a if I was going to have a couple, three bottles, I'd probably stick with the Rasputin, but this is a special beer. I'd have at least two bottles of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can drive me home.
In a setting, that's pretty much it for the evening.
Because this is a fierce beer. And we are
on
splitting
a cold
these.
Night, so yeah, we are.
So I mentioned, you were talking about cold smoking a minute ago. And we talked about this a while back. We had the Mid-South Fair here back several months ago. And my family always enters into the Mid-South Chili Championship. I come from, apparently, a line of chili champions. Except for me. My children win trophies. My mother wins trophies. Hell, I can't even get to the front door. and my mother's chili, of course, this is something that she conveniently found this skill after I was like 35. So I never grew up with this, and I missed out on it. But, of course, my children are getting this, so they're spoiled rotten on chili. But the other thing they had was a catfish cooking contest. So I made my smoked catfish that I've spoke of, and I think it's on the website. And one of the things that I used for the smoked catfish was a smoked cheddar. It was excellent. I'd used this before on one of the hamburgers, the smoked cheeseburgers that I did, double smoked cheeseburgers. But I'd gone to the store and they didn't have it. So it's like, well, what am I going to do? So I bought a block of cheddar, and I'm there at the fair trying to figure out how the hell am I going to get some smoke flavor into this cheese.
Imagine a parking lot with a tent.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know. It's a parking lot with a bunch of tents and tarps, and so I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get some smoke on this. So what I ended up doing was building this aluminum foil funnel and kind of laying it over the vent on top of my smoker, and then I put my cheese in foil and kind of held it up under it and funneled smoke into it. Well, that worked pretty good, and then I got tired of holding it, and I set it down, and it melted a little bit, but still held together because of it. It was fantastic. Mm. But it's not like what you were talking about with a coal smoke where you could do it a little longer.
Right, you don't want the temperature to go... Well, what I'm particularly interested in is trying to do a lox. A Jewish kosher salmon.
Right.
And it's not really cooked. It's soaked in brine. And that's how you preserve it. And it's cold smoked, but the temperature's never allowed to get over 80 degrees. So I've been thinking long and hard about how to do this.
So it's cured rather than cooked.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think the same process applies to jerky and hams and cheese.
Yeah.
So that's
when you look slice the lox correctly, or I mean, if you do your lox correctly, you can slice it paper thin.
Yeah.
Which you can't do with the smoked salmon that we were just talking
about.
No,
you can't. It flakes and chunks and all of that.
So it's a specialty thing.
Yep.
I'm just anxious to try that. Okay. But I went to the Cooper Young Deli and had this smoked turkey, smoked Buddha sandwich with a little bit of barbecue sauce on the English muffins. Delicious. Highly recommended.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we've got some beer news. And we're now 7 minutes into this segment. So why don't we take one more break, listen to one more song. We'll come back to a little beer news and wind it up. Got another JC and the Road Kings song, and this is Lucky in Love.
She never looks my way, turns her back when it's my turn to play. But I'm lucky in love, I'm so lucky in love. I never had much luck with the dice. I like to play them, but I just can't pay the price, girl. But I'm lucky in love.
beer news.
That's right, beer news.
Not really our shtick, but we're going to try it.
Yeah, because there's been a lot lately, and we were talking about this the other day, about some of the weird things going on and in the world of beer. And so each of us have gone and looked for just different beer things. First thing that I spotted right off the bat, and I just thought this was hilarious. You've seen beer helmets at the baseball parks, at college fraternities. There's a little batting helmet with the two little carriers, and usually you stick a Budweiser or some cheap crap beer into them to suck down as rapidly as possible through the tubing. Well, DrinkingStuff.com has up-armored the concept with the off-duty helmet because insurgents don't know about happy hour, says their press release. This is made from surplus military headgear, complete with dual camouflaged beer holders. This beer helmet is aimed to get GIs locked and loaded to support Operation Enduring Inebriation. The company claims they will provide samples to active duty troops to help fine-tune the design. Pentagon procurement officers will be thrilled to know the helmet retails for only $39.99, a fraction of the cost of the toilet seat grunts could be vomiting into. So America's warfighters should get your hands on one today, says Ron Lepper, Drinking Stuff's chief product designer. Then get those handles back on your rifle. Yeah, that's what we want to do. Get our military all tore up and then give them a loaded weapon. So I thought that was pretty good. That's DrinkingStuff.com. I looked at it. It's really aimed more towards the quantity rather than quality crowd and the beer pongers that we talked about. But I thought that was pretty funny. And
I have a little bit of news.
Okay.
I think we may have read this on the last one. Researchers say beer hops may be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists at Oregon State University say the hops used in brewing beer contain a compound called flavonids. Which neutralize free radicals, rogue oxygen molecules that can damage cells. So, we can't say that drinking beer will help prevent cancer, says Fred Stevens. I guess, but they're implying that it will.
Yeah, I read the same press release, and it's like in one sentence he says, oh yeah, it's full of stuff that will help you, but we're not going to say that. Yeah. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
It might make you forget you have cancer. Well, you can only hope.
So, well, hopefully you don't have cancer,
yeah,
but at least you're getting
right.
Free radicals with the hops.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing.
Which you can't really, well, I guess you could say that about wine also, right?
Yeah, I think wine, the whole, that's the whole,
great
and
thing.
Then there's the French paradox, and I read the same thing with beer about that, but, you know, I don't know too many people who go out of their way to drink beer for the health benefits, but it's nice to know that there's one more excuse you have for having that extra beer.
There are many studies that say a drink a day is a good thing for you.
Yep, so. That's right. It's on the food pyramid, or should be. I've got one here about, this happened in August, and I can't believe we didn't hear about this. It's right up our alley. Police battle looters after beer train crashes. The very idea of a beer train. Why can't there be more of those? Why can't there be a carnival beer cruise? That's what I want. It's in Johannesburg, South Africa. Hundreds of looters battled police all weekend at the site of a beer train wreck and violence that left one woman dead. Not a good thing. South African police said on Monday as they kept a heavy guard on the remaining alcohol. Now, this is where numbers impress me. The train was carrying 180,000 crates of beer from South African breweries. And it crashed 124 miles east of Johannesburg. And, of course, the predators converged. It's a lot of trouble for one train crash. They were firing rubber bullets into the crowd. The issue was the beer. Police handled the site and best they could and turned it over to railway security staff. But we're back again Sunday morning firing more rubber bullets as looters converged on the train. Officers raided nearby houses, recovered 3 out of 500 missing cases.
Oh, my gosh.
So, 497 cases were apparently well hid, and they arrested 6 people.
Or otherwise disposed of by the time...
Yeah, that's right. Party in South Africa.
Yeah.
So one of the police said 20 officers were remained at the site until the overturned wagons, I guess that's what they call a train, car, and surviving beer crates could be recovered. Operation could take up to a week. So, yeah, I can just see that. I mean, you got a beer train wrecking in front of you. You're going to be all over that.
Now, this next article isn't really news. It's a beer man on the wayside comes an Irish surprise. What I like about it is this guy, the beer man, his name's Todd Hafer of Scandinavia, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. He gets paid to drink beer and write about every Saturday for the Post Crescent of Appleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah, except for the writing part. That sounds like a pretty good job.
Well, yeah, it does. but it was on topic. Must have showed up with an Imperial Stout search.
Yep.
All this Google, by the way. It goes... he was at some bar. I'm sorry. I'm not finding it real quickly. But they sell a Satin Solstice Imperial Stout.
Okay.
In particular, it had such a strong alcohol presence when he first tried it that the flavor coated my mouth even the next morning. That is no longer the case, as the sample I had at Clancy's, okay, Clancy's must be the bar,
uh-huh,
seems to be much more balanced. My guess is that they are aging the beer longer before selling it,
uh-huh,
which ties into our discussion about the
right,
Rogue.
Our four-year-old Rogue that we just had.
But this is what caught my eye. My home brew experience is that the longer a high alcohol beer conditions, the better the alcohol blends into the rest of the beer. That kind of validates everything we've been saying, is that the craft brewers, the home brewers in America, are looking for these high-end beers to brew, and that's probably why the Russian Imperial Stout is having a resurgence in America.
And it's a wonderful beer. We have just enjoyed this immensely. We're on our second Old Rasputin. We decided to finish it off of the lot. We chose the Old Rasputin Reserving Rogue for a special occasion, and all things considered, I think this was an excellent choice, and I think it's a good thing to base the show off.
There's another news article about the macro brews, how Budweiser might be adding more flavor to the beer, which is kind of amusing. But,
yeah, that is. That's.
I think they're adding more hops.
I don't think they can add more flavor to that beer. I think they just need to find a different beer. But, you know, that's just an opinion, and it's quality versus quantity. So, ready to wind it up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's close it out. The folks that we started the show off with, the Torpex Blues Band, again, that's a female singer, and they're doing a cover of a famous blues song, which most people associate with Stevie Ray Vaughan, The Sky Is Crying. So here's a Torpex Blues Band. Thanks for listening. And
I actually have a sign-off this time. I'll quote Benjamin Franklin, "Beer is God's way of proving that he loves us and wants us to be happy."
Oh, there you go. All right, thanks
Enjoy
a lot.
The music.
All right, see you next time.
The sky is crying. Did you see the tears roll down the streets? The sky is crying. Can't you see the tears roll down the street? I've been looking for my baby, yeah, and I wonder where can he be? I saw my